Please join me in the prayer of invocation you'll find on the front of your worship folder. Let's pray together. Glory, honor, praise, and adoration belong to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As the Father proclaimed you his beloved Son and anointed you with the Holy Spirit, so grant us the grace to hear and know who we are in your love, and empower us by your Spirit to live to the praise of your glory. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us hear the word of the Lord as recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Our New Testament reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on him, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christians are singing.
Let's pray. Lord God, we do want to praise you. Thank you so much for the hope in this new year. We thank you, Lord, that 2016 is meant to be a year of growing faith and decreasing fear. You have redeemed us. You have called us by name. We know you have claimed us as your people. There is so much hope in these promises. These are such strong foundation stones for our year. And we look forward to fearing less and believing more for 2016. We look forward to not being afraid of financial difficulties or changes. We know that you are our provider, and that no matter what, there is a way through our lack, that you have resources. You have brought us to a community to care for us. We look forward to not being afraid of changes in our health. You are our healer. You are the balm of Gilead. There is compassion and care in the midst of whatever sicknesses we may face. We look forward to not being afraid in the midst of the politics of our nation and our world, even when voices are thundering that we should be afraid. We know that the government is on your shoulders, and that is good news for us, that we can trust you to reign and to rule and to guide us, regardless of the chaos of politics in our world. We look forward, Lord God, to finding our faith growing deeper and stronger than the things that tell us to be afraid. We know that you have been faithful in years past, and you will be faithful to us this year too. So this morning, we open our hands, we release our fears, and we take hold of who you are. Holy Spirit, 2016 is your year to do your wondrous work in us and among us. Hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are going to continue in worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Just want to welcome you to give generously and freely. If you are a visitor among us, feel no pressure to give. We're just so glad you're with us. Join in if you would want. Hear the psalmist, as he tells us, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And bring an offering and come into his courts. Be blessed as you worship.
Oh, Lord Jesus, receive this offering. Know that it comes with open hands and hopeful hearts. For all that you will do through it, thank you for this invitation to be a part of your kingdom. In your name, amen.
Lord, may it be so this morning that we would indeed put our trust in you, that we would indeed be still before you and know who you are, and in you, O God, know who we are, and know that we can venture forward into life, into service, into the risky, seemingly risky venture of love, with confidence, with faith, with hope. We wait before you now, O God, and pray for ears to hear, for eyes to glimpse your presence among us, and to see the pathway forward with you in life. We wait upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you might remember a year and a half ago, I went on sabbatical. And I began that sabbatical experience out in Arizona. Our denomination put on a clergy retreat, a five-day retreat, that just happened to, well, maybe it wasn't just a happenstance. It certainly was a gift from God for me, that the first day of my sabbatical was the first day of this retreat out there. And as I've mentioned, each day as I was still before God, God spoke to me in various and wonderful ways. Several days into it, I woke up quite a bit before I wanted to in the morning. Have you ever had that happen? And decided, since I wasn't going back to sleep, I might as well get up, and I went out to the outdoor chapel, which I would go to each morning, although not usually this early, and sat there and decided I'd wait for the sun to rise up over the mountains. There was a cross, and in the distance, mountains, and I knew what time the sun was supposed to come up, so I thought I'll wait. And I waited and waited and waited. And the time came and went that the sun was supposed to rise, but with mountains there, it took longer. And so now I wasn't sure when it would happen, when that sun would actually appear over the mountains. And I had to wait and wait. And I found this kind of prayer, this word going through my mind at that point. I was praying and talking with God, and it was my continuing word through the day. Wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. And then there was the sun. It appeared over the peaks of the mountains, and just as it did, a dove came down and landed on the cross. So that for me, I saw these signs of the Father, the Creator, of the Son, the cross, and of this dove sitting on the cross. It was an amazing sign for me. And it makes me think of what we see in today's gospel lesson in Luke chapter 3. Today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, a day we remember that Jesus joined hands with all of humanity. He didn't have to be baptized. He didn't have to come to earth, for that matter. He chose to come to earth, to be incarnated, to take on human flesh, to become fully human as well as fully divine. And he chose to join hands with us and to be baptized by John the Baptist. And today's gospel in verse 21 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" I think of prayer as that act of waiting on our part, waiting before God, before the Father. And here, as Jesus comes up out of the waters of baptism, he prays. He waits upon heaven, upon the Father, upon the Spirit. And when we do that, we can't know what will happen. We can't know how God might speak, how God might offer us light, guidance. We come before God with this sense of expectancy, of hope. We wait upon God. And as we do, heaven is open. The Spirit does come upon us too. And God does whatever his word might be to us on a particular day. This fundamental, foundational word is always at the core of it, that we too are his sons and daughters, his beloved. And with you also, he is well pleased. It's worth noting that this word from God comes, this word from the Father, from the Spirit comes before Jesus has even entered into ministry. He hasn't done anything yet in terms of living out this call that he has. That already, before he even begins, he's named as the Son. He is given the blessing of the Spirit. He is told that he is pleasing in the sight of the Father. And it's this word of God, of the Father, of the Spirit, that Jesus takes with him as he goes forward now into living out his call. First into the wilderness, where he's going to be tempted by the devil, we're told in Luke, or in Matthew, tested, the trials that he's going to go through. In the Gospel of Luke, and just after he's been in the wilderness, he goes to Nazareth, and there he's rejected by his friends, his family, the people who know him, they want to throw him off a cliff. He goes from there to call his disciples to teach them, and we know how the story unfolds. He ends up on a cross. And through all of this, here is the foundational word that he heard at the beginning, and he carries with him through all that he endures. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. You think maybe that gave him a little strength, a little courage, a little hope when the voices around him were telling him otherwise? When on the cross he's feeling this sense of distance from the Father, his feelings aren't there, and yet this word of God that he owns, that he believes, is true even when he's not feeling it. And how important for us also, this most fundamental, foundational word, that we hear it, that we believe it, that we hang on to it, no matter what happens in our lives. No matter what the challenges, the trials might be. This past Tuesday, and we do this each week on Tuesday mornings as our staff gathers, we reflect together, pray together around the Word of God, the Word that we'll be looking at on Sunday. And so this Tuesday morning, our staff was talking about this particular Word and how God spoke to Jesus as he entered into ministry, and that Jesus could carry this foundational Word with him, and he could lean back on it no matter what happened, and how God speaks those words to us too, and that it's important for us to pay attention. What are those stories, those times in your life where you've experienced God, where you've heard God, and you can look back and say, even though I'm going through this right now, I know I've experienced God. I know I've heard God. I'm going to trust God, even in the midst of whatever it is I'm experiencing today. What I'm going to do right now is have you listen to a few of those stories. I was so moved by the stories that I asked Sam Mulberry to come and videotape a few of our staff members sharing those stories of where they'd heard God, they'd experienced God, that gave them strength as they ventured forward into life. And I think as you watch this video, you'll have a chance to see why I love our staff so much, and also how God's word, God's presence in their lives continues to inform them and shape them and guide them in their service here at Salem and beyond. And I pray that it might invite you to consider, what are those stories in your life, those times when God has spoken to you, where you've experienced God, and you need also to lean on those, to remember those, to carry those experiences forward. And if you haven't had that experience yet, pray that as you wait upon God today, maybe today would be your day. Or certainly in the days to come, if you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. We believe this. So here, listen to our staff members to share some stories.
The time I heard God speak to me was right after my daughter Hannah was born. Right after she was born, I would look at her sometimes. I'd be so overwhelmed with love for her that I could hardly keep from crying. And I was thinking about it and praying about it, and I realized that God loved her even more than that. And then I heard God say to me, "I love you the same." And that kind of got God's love from something I knew in my head right into my heart, and that changed me.
One summer, shortly after college, I was working at a camp, a very remote camp up in Canada, serving with the Northwest Conference. I had an opportunity one afternoon to take a boat to go to another island to be by myself. So I got my Bible, I got my journal, and set out to spend some time alone with the Lord. And when I was over there reading and I was journaling and praying, I very distinctly had this sense, it wasn't a voice, but this sense of God saying, "I have a claim on your life." And I didn't really know for sure what that meant, except I knew that I was being called into full-time ministry.
The time that I clearly heard God speaking to me was my time of getting involved in ministry. At the very beginning, feeling insecure about who I was, feeling unworthy of it. And God spoke to me one day as I was praying that I got a picture that I was kneeling before him, and he was putting a medallion over my head, telling me that I have chosen you and have called you to ministry. Then in a prayer meeting a while later with a group of folks, a woman said, "I have a picture for you, Norm, where you're kneeling before the Lord, and he is placing this medallion over your head, and he's calling you to serve him. And I just want to encourage you to do that," which was the confirmation to me of God had truly spoken to me. So it wasn't just kind of my imagination, but it really was that confirmation that he had called me to ministry.
The moment for me that I return to again and again to remember how much God loves me is a time when I was in my 20s. I was living in Washington State, and I was up there one time driving, and there was just this moment when I came over this crest of the hill, and it was perfect, you know. The sun was shining on the waters of this glacial lake. The mountains were glistening with snow. And I remember being so struck with how beautiful it was that I pulled the car off. I felt like I was going to wreck the car if I kept driving, looking at this stunning beauty and doing that, you know, awe-filled prayer of, "Oh, thank you, God. This is so beautiful. This is such a reflection of how beautiful you are. Thank you." And in the back of my head, I heard this little whisper of, "You are more lovely than these mountains," to me. So just this breathtaking moment of how God saw me and treasured me more than all of this beautiful scenery.
My wife Sally and I, before we were engaged, we had a lot of questions that we needed to resolve with one another. Were we serious about our relationship? I was feeling a call to ministry, and should I go to North Park and leave Sally for a year? All kinds of questions about our future. Both of us got quiet, we closed our eyes, and when we opened our eyes and looked at each other, we both said, "Did you hear what I heard?" And both of us had heard the words, "Be still and know that I am God."
Right after my husband passed away, which is almost 5 years ago now, it was maybe 2 months or so after he had passed away, and I was feeling very alone and very uncertain about the future, especially my financial future and whether or not I'd be able to stay in my house. And that was really troubling to me and really upsetting me quite a bit at that time. And it was during the summer when Minnesota experiences a lot of large storms, and it was in the evening that I went out onto my deck after the rain had passed, and there was this absolutely surrealistic rainbow stretched from one side of the horizon right over my deck to the other side. It was huge. It was extremely colorful, and all I could think of was that was God saying to me, "I'm going to take care of you. You will be fine. Trust me." And whenever I get into these times of worry, which happen from time to time, I go back and I visualize that rainbow. And it's just a beautiful memory, and like the Old Testament rainbow, a wonderful promise of what God has given to us in his care and sustenance for us each day.
I want to thank those who shared those stories, Sam, who put that video together. And I pray that listening to the stories of others, I mean, isn't that what we read again and again in the scriptures? Stories that gave hope and meaning to those going through those experiences. But we, as we listen to those stories, hear good news for ourselves too. May these stories be good news for you. And I would invite, I would ask that you would allow them to be an invitation for you to let this conversation continue. You have to take some time to think about what might be those moments in your life where, yeah, God laid a hold of me. He laid his hand on me. He experienced, or let me experience his presence. And for us to remember those, carry them with us as we go forward. I think of this word from Isaiah chapter 43 that was read for us a little bit ago. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You know, we too go forward into life to face temptations and trials. That's a part of the reality of our lives. And we too, like Jesus, like those who just shared these stories with us, can lean back upon this word of God that has been spoken to us and venture forward with courage. We too, like Jesus, if we're going to follow the call of God in our lives, are going to experience those times in which we experience rejection by friends at school, or at work, or in our society. I think about me as a pastor wanting to serve God faithfully, knowing that as I proclaim his word, as I try to live it out, I'll have people who disagree with me from time to time, at least. And if I don't, then it might be that I'm not really saying anything of value anyway. And it's not fun for any of us to be rejected, to be not liked. And yet we can know as we venture forward that God is with us, that he will work all things together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We can venture forward with courage. So I would invite you to think about those times in your life, to remember those moments, whether it be at Bible camp or as you came over the crest of a hill or in the midst of confusion as you were just being still before God, as you looked at a rainbow. What are those moments, those times that you can lean on, that you can remember? And if you come to this morning not having experienced that yet, I would invite you to hear the good news today. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That God has a claim upon your life and wants you to come and join in as a member of his family, as his beloved son, his beloved daughter. I think about the story of the prodigal son and his brother who went for various reasons away from the father, and the father's desire for both of them and for all of us, whatever our reasons might be to go away, is to come home, to come back, to receive this gift of God, this love of God that goes beyond anything we can offer, that comes to us before we're even born, that says to each one of us, I love you. And I want you to be a part of my family. I want you to receive the gift of my Holy Spirit. I want you to know that I have a claim on your life. And so I will invite you now into a time of prayer. And if you haven't said yes to the Father before and said, I want to be your child, to live with your Spirit within me and upon me. I would invite you to receive that gift God offers this morning and say, yes, Father, I come home into your family. And for those who have said yes before, I would invite you to remember back to those times when God has placed his arm around your shoulders, when he has spoken that word to you, for you to remember that and lay hold of it as we go forward into life. For God speaks to each of us. And he says, what more can I say than I've already said? I love you. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Grant this morning, O God, that we would be believers. Hear the prayers of those this morning who maybe for the first time say yes. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. Grant your Holy Spirit. Be with those, God, who through the years have prayed such a prayer and who have received confirmations along the way of your love. Grant us good memories. Help us to know this most important thing, who you are and who we are in your love. Help us to know, O God, that we are loved by you, and to go forward into life, into the world as confident people, secure in your love, and in that security, risking loving our neighbors in your name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.